Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so very much for tuning in, watching, listening, praying for us. Thank you. And for sharing the podcast, that's just as important. It's getting us out there. It's still a happy new year here. Hope it is where you're at as well. And thank you again so much. Praise God. We've got another great guest today, Calvin Smith with Answers in Genesis, Canada. He's been with us before. In fact, before I give there, yeah, Answers in Canada. There it is, Answers in Genesis, Canada.ca. I want to give you his first interview he did with us. It was all about AI. I don't think we're going to get to that today, but it was fascinating what that conversation was about. It was that AI admitted basically that evolution is effectively impossible. Go to that. Go to worldviewmatters.tv and type in Calvin Smith in the search, and I'd love for you guys to check out that interview. But I want to give you his Harbingers page. He's at Harbingers Daily. What a blessing that he's got a page there as well. And the YouTube channel for Answers in Genesis Canada, a lot of great information there, different from Answers US. There it is. It's just at Answers Canada on YouTube. Praise God that they're up there. I know the biblical worldview is not as popular, and that might be an understatement, in Canada. And one more, let's see. The Facebook page. Look up Calvin Smith AIG on Facebook, and you can connect with him there. He posts a lot of different things. So, brother, thank you so much for your time. Good to connect with you again.
Good to be back.
So, Cal, first of all, just give us a little. You've been speaking and doing some tours with Ken Ham. Before we get to the specific one we're going to talk about and the conversation you had with two professing believers, what have you been doing? Have you been traveling, doing videos? Tell us a little bit about catch us up.
Well, the video outreach was really the silver lining from COVID, when we got locked down pretty hard and I couldn't go out and speak at conferences and churches and such. We really started to ramp up our video outreach, and that's really been a blessing. We actually doubled our video outreach from last year to this. We just hit 25 million views on our channel alone. And of course, we supply, our videos to several other platforms as well. So that's really been astounding to reach that many people in such a short period of time. Conference season has ebbs and flows. I travel all across Canada serving churches here, sometimes internationally at conferences. But that season's over, of course. We're, probably about a month before I'll be out on the road again and so on. So, that's what I do. I've done this for 25 years here in Canada and 8 years in Genesis. So,
praise God, brother. Before we get into the topic today, I wasn't planning on asking you this, but you mentioned traveling across Canada. Tell us about the environment, the temperature, so to speak, as far as the hostility toward the biblical worldview, the true biblical worldview, primarily when it comes to sexuality or creation, gender. What, I'm sure you get a lot of opposition. And is free speech an issue? Some churches accept you, some churches don't. Tell us how that goes.
There's a lot of churches that would not have Answers in Genesis in, just because we hold to, a plain reading of what Genesis says. And of course, these issues that we see in culture, traditional marriage, gender roles, all that stuff, really all Christian doctrines directly or indirectly are founded in the book of Genesis. So if you don't take that as plainly written, that's where you see a lot of churches going offside. But we are receiving some pushback in terms of this, what they call hate speech. So now there's an amendment to a bill here in Canada, Bill C-9, where what our Liberal government is trying to do is actually declaring that certain passages of Scripture could be determined as hate speech. So, for example, if you quoted Genesis where it says God created male and female, and somebody took offense to that, you could be accused of a hateful action towards them. And so the crazy thing about this is we already have hate speech laws, in the sense that hate speech used to be, if I was to incite violence against someone, then you could consider that to be a hateful act. But now simply professing your own worldview could be considered a hateful act towards others. So we'll see how that plays out, in the courts and so on. But basically, the main talk that I would do on a Sunday morning in a church, simply by quoting that verse, somebody could turn around and say, "Well, that's hateful towards me," and they could, try to present charges against me. So it's very interesting what's happening in the Western world.
It is. And I just want to caution our viewers and listeners in America. What happens in Canada doesn't stay in Canada necessarily, and elections have consequences. Friends, we have the opportunity right now to share the gospel freely, but we saw what happened to Charlie Kirk. He was killed for his biblical worldview and his speech. We believe pretty much the same things, and we just have to continue to speak the truth no matter what. But we've got to get more Christians out to elect conservatives or Christian candidates, hopefully, so that we can continue to have these freedoms, because it's just a matter of time or an election cycle that things could change. And that take that as a warning, what's going on in Canada there. So, okay, Cal, now to, oh, did you want to comment on that before we move on?
Yeah, one of the videos posted on our YouTube channel, I titled it, Time Travel or something like that. And I was speaking at the Creation Museum in the US, and that's how I started off talking to the audience. I said, "Treat me like a time traveler. Canada's just down the road, a good 10 years from where you folks are right now. And if you looked at, hey, they're just about another 10 years down the road from where we are here." So you're exactly right. You can tell, what a society is going to be like, typically based on what the public school system in that country is teaching at the present time, and then young people imbibe and then start to express in their worldview. So that's why I really appreciate the title of your entire program here, Worldview Matters.
What you just shared even is sobering, just thinking about we know what our government-run Antichrist school system is all about. And I'm saying there are some good teachers. I come from a family of teachers, but there are some good teachers in the system, but their hands are tied when it comes to the gospel and the truth of the biblical worldview, because of anything goes except biblical Christianity in our school system. And more parents are catching on to that, but I think it's a little too late. All right, now to the topic of for today, Cal. I want to quote you. And then you set it up to when you and Ken Ham were out, you're on a speaking tour and you were in Calgary, and that conversation you had with professing believers. But I want to quote you. You say, quote, "If a spirit-filled believer can pray to our Lord Jesus while believing his character is that of a loving creator who used infirmity, disease, and death to create and called it very good, while healing those very same things, because they are obviously bad, while he was incarnated, I believe your view of Christ is so severely compromised and completely inconsistent with Scripture that logic will obviously not help you." End quote. It's pretty heavy, and there's a lot to unpack in that, Cal. So let's just start with the speaking tour and the conversations you had, and go ahead, take it.
Sure. I just think a lot of people think that the answer is in Genesis ministry. You guys talk about science and the Bible and the age of the earth. What about that? That doesn't have anything to do with the Jesus or the gospel or anything. And so it's making those connections with people that I think is important, because, as I said, all of our Christian doctrines are founded in Genesis. So if we can't trust that as plainly written, we're in trouble. So yeah, it was about almost a month ago now. I was out in Calgary, and Ken Ham had come up for a very large conference out there for Canada, anyway, about 1,600 people. Very conservative group that was holding the conference. And so Ken did several talks. I did a breakout session. And at the end of one of his talks, we were doing a Q&A, and I was standing near Ken, and these two young gentlemen came over, professing Christians, probably university age. And both of them were challenging him on, biblical creation, young earth, et cetera. And so he was doing a great job, as he always does, of course, giving them answers. But it didn't seem to matter what he said, from what approach. And they would just, no, they would just be dismissive. And I could see him getting a little frustrated. And he finally just said to them, "You're not even looking for answers. I'm telling you about this and that." And, so I just said to them, I said, "Hey, gentlemen, Mr. Ham here's got to go grab some lunch now. And but if you want to dialogue with me, I'd be great, happy to do that." Kind of gave him a break. And so finally ended up talking to this one fellow and really breaking it down for him as to why this is so important. So I said, "Okay, look, you believe in Jesus, you're a Christian, I'm not questioning that. I said, but let's look at a couple of things here. The scripture is very clear, however you take Genesis, that at the end of the creation, God said everything he had created was very good. Now, we know what that means. We know what good means, very good means. Now, when Jesus was here doing his earthly ministry, you look at Acts, 10:38, I think it is, where it says that, Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God and he went around doing good things and he was healing people and stuff. So even your non-Christian friends know what Jesus supposedly did, what he actually did. But, someone with a crippled hand, he healed that, and the man couldn't stand and he healed the hips and all this kind of stuff. So infirmity, he healed infirmity. People with leprosy, he healed them of that. So he healed disease. He even brought a dead man back to life. So when Jesus was doing these good things, how do we know that they were good? Well, it's very simple. It's childish in a sense. What he fixed was bad. Everybody knows that infirmity, disease, and death are bad things. Mm-hmm. And they came into the creation at a very specific point because God did not create with bad things, right? Everything he created was very good. After that, Adam fell and sin and the curse happened, and that's why there's bad things in the world. If you can't explain that, you do not have an answer for theodicy. The number one philosophical objection to the Christian faith is, if you've got such a loving God, how come there's death and suffering in the world? Well, mm-hmm. God didn't create full of death and suffering. So he agreed with all of this. And so I went on and I said, okay, so what do you believe about the age of the earth? Oh, the earth's billions of years old. I said, okay, where do you put billions of years into the Bible? You can't put it in the time frame between when Adam and Eve are coming on the scene to, and then we got a chronology up the way to Christ and back down again to prove the lineage and all that stuff. Yeah. I said, and so he admitted, well, you'd have to put it in the 6 days of creation. You'd have to say those days aren't real days, etc. I said, okay. So the secular scientists are saying that the very rock layers we see, around the world are the supposed evidence of billions of years of deposition, et cetera, and so on. So I said, so you'd have to say the rock layers got laid down during the 6 days of creation then. He said, yeah. I said, okay, so what's in the rock layers? What's in the rock layers is a record of death, infirmity, and disease. We actually have a record of cancer in the fossil record. I said, so let's put all of these things together, because in the book of Colossians, it actually says that Jesus is the creator, that all things were created by him. Mm-hmm. Based on what you've stated and the logical conclusions that come out of it, could you affirm the following statement? I believe Jesus used billions of years of death and suffering and disease like cancer to create and called it very good all or Adam sinned. And he looked me in the eye and he said, yeah, I could affirm that. And at that point, I just shook his hand. And I said, hey, well, it was great to talk to you and hope you have a great rest of the conference. And I turned around and walked away, because at that point, what good is anything I'm going to say at that point as an apologist? Logic's not going to work. Hmm. You've already proven that your view of Christ is that of a creator that would use cancer to create. Like, this is one of God's good creative acts. Yeah. Everything he did was very good at the end of the creation. Well, if you've already got cancer and death, and so what exactly happened at the fall? Why are we praying for people in our congregations with cancer or that are infirm or sick or anything like that, if this is all part of God's create? So the challenge is, this young man is not some, outlier. The vast majority of Christian leaders, people that we quote from pulpits and pastors quote all the time, if they haven't accepted full-blown evolution, they sure have accepted millions of years. Yeah. And so they may not have actually gone through this exercise and come to this conclusion, but that's the logical entailment of what they believe. And you've got people like William Lane Craig, who's supposedly the greatest Christian apologist on the planet today, and he believes that God used evolution to create. And I quote him in one of my videos where he actually mocks the concept of biblical creation ex nihilo. He's talking about ducks and he goes, well, that'd be like there's a pond there and all of a sudden ducks appear. And he goes, that seems smacks a little bit too much of magic to me.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I'll tell you, brother, last time I heard anyone connecting magic with creation was some troll on my YouTube channel, some atheist saying, oh, you believe in the magic man in the sky. And here's William Lane Craig basically saying the same thing, mocking the plain reading of scripture. So you know, all of these things that many Christians have poo-pooed. Ah, you guys are too, you're too upset about this age of the earth thing. It's like, look, this all comes down to the gospel and the character of Christ. And so, you know, once you connect those dots, maybe you want to take a serious look at, some of the scientists that we have on board and how we would explain these so-called scientific issues that many Christians just believe, well, science has disproven the plain reading of the Bible, so we're just going to adopt evolution in millions of years and doesn't really matter. So, yeah, sobering.
It is. We've got a lot more to get to. We're with Calvin Smith, Answers in Genesis Canada. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, Calvin Smith, I want to get back to the vast time periods in Genesis that you and I would call a day. but before we, before we do that, maybe answer for us how you think young people or someone comes to their conclusions that they have. And I want to just mention, if they're not just strictly going through the Bible and studying and interpreting properly, rightly dividing the word of truth, if they're watching Nat Geo or the History Channel, you're going to hear these narrators say, billions of years ago, this happened and this happened. If you're going to believe that, and then a lot of people do, and then you've got the government schools and what they teach. So where does, you said these two believers were younger or professing believers.
Probably by university.
So where did they get their beliefs? They go to me and you, or to you and I, they go against really what scripture teaches on creation.
Well, it's always science over scripture, right? Whatever the secular schools are presenting, that's what they're accepting as science and fact. And so, you know, really, I've had these kind of dialogues for 25 years here, especially in Canada, but, you know, with other places as well, because it always comes down to some kind of conversation like this. Well, you know, Cal, I'm a Christian, but, you know, I'm well-educated. I've gone to university. You know, I've got a doctorate or whatever like this. And it seems like in a bid for intellectual credibility amongst their unsaved family and friends, mostly. You know, it's always like, well, you know, I mean, I believe in the Bible and I believe in Jesus, but, you know, I mean, Genesis, it's kind of talking snake in there. I mean, come on, it's just kind of, you know, Christian mythology. And it's like, okay, so what about this part over here a little while later in scripture has got a talking donkey? What about this part over here where you've got a floating axe head? You ever tried the floating axe head experiment? Because you fail every time. Because axe heads don't float unless the sovereign God of creation says this one's going to float because he's the creator of the heavens and the earth and has total control over whatever he wants to in his creation. So, you know, and over here, you've got a dead guy who comes back to life and a guy walks on water and it's not even frozen like it gets up here in Canada. So exactly which portion of scripture am I supposed to be embarrassed of, you know, because of so-called science? Because the same secular scientists that will mock, you know, 6 days, young earth creation, no evolution, all that kind of stuff. You know, if you say, well, do you believe that virgin human females give birth? No. Science is going to, you know, disprove. Science is not going to support that. Do you believe dead people come back to life after 3 days? Well, no. It's just so absurd in my mind how Christians have compartmentalized, you know, their faith. It's like, sure, I know there are natural laws that the Lord has set up that the world runs on, etc. But there are also supernatural events, including Christ's death and resurrection, which is what our salvation is based upon, which is all supernatural. So I've never really understood it, especially coming from an atheistic background, finally getting saved. And I remember, you know, being handed a Bible at this event where I got saved. And I was so confused, really, that first year of my you know, becoming a Christian, because I'd never gone to church or read the Bible or anything. And so I started reading the Bible and I always joke with people. Guess where I started? Genesis. Because every other book I'd written, read, I'd started at the beginning. I wasn't educated enough to start in John or Matthew, you know. And I read, and it's like, oh, God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Okay. Like, that's the renewal of your mind. I went from being an evolution believing atheist to trusting in our Lord Jesus. And I was just like, okay, well, this is what God did. Then, you know, and I didn't know how he did it. And I didn't have apologetic explanations and all that kind of stuff, but I trusted it on faith because I trusted salvation on faith. So yeah, it's a
So,
conundrum.
Kel, the word day, as used in Genesis, where others would interpret these alleged vast time periods, doesn't that word, the same word, I guess, is it in Hebrew? Correct me if I'm wrong. The word day continues to appear in different places in the Old Testament, possibly the New Testament as well.
Well, it's a Hebrew word, obviously. Yom is the word for day. And the typical way people will set this up is they say, well, you know, the word day in Genesis can mean something other than a literal day. And I'm like, yep. That's not an argument. That's like me saying to you, hey, you know, the word day in English can mean something other than a literal day, David. Okay. That's not an argument. Now, the argument would be, what does the word day mean in context in Genesis? Then you can get into the argument. Because if I say to you, well, you know, back in my father's day, it took 3 days to drive to Nova Scotia during the day. Is any of your audience out there confused right now? Back in my father's day, is that a literal day? No, it's when my dad was young and hip. He's passed on now, but you know, it took 3 days to drive to Nova Scotia. Is those literal days? Yeah. During the day. Is that a 24-hour day? No, that's the daylight portion of the day. So we understand common linguistic convention. Well, if you look at the Old Testament, the word yom is used over 2,000 times. And wherever it is linked with a number and the word evening or morning, it is always considered a literal 24-hour day or approximately 24-hour day. So then you go to Genesis, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning were the second day. Evening and the morning were the, I mean, it's so plain to see what it actually says. And then you hop over to Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens, earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And the Lord states that. He says, this is the way you're going to work, you know, your work week because of the way I created. So everybody knew what Genesis meant up until about the mid, you know, 1800s. And that's when Charles Lyell and, you know, started to popularize millions of years, and that started to go mainstream in secular science. And then, you know, Charles Darwin publishes Origin of Species. And all of a sudden, the church is like, ooh, we've got to keep up with science. Maybe we need to change what the Bible plainly says. Well, you've got the tail wagging the dog at that point. It's supposed to be the authority of the word of God, not the authority of. So, because now look at where we are. You don't know how many genders there are? Is it a scientific thing, or is that, you know, anyway.
Well, just going back to what you said, in my father's day, it took 3 days to drive that such a distance. That's a great example of using day in different ways. But, and then the one you said, morning and evening, it's hard. To me, Cal, I guess I just take the Bible so literally. It's hard to misinterpret. To For me, maybe it's hard to misinterpret day, evening and morning, or day and night.
I think when people say the word literal too, they sometimes misinterpret what the biblical creationists would say. We've never actually said that we take the Bible literally, because if I took the Bible literally, I would think Jesus was a door. You know, he's got hinges and a doorknob and stuff like that. It's like, obviously there's poetic, there's analogies, there's, you know, parables, all that kind of stuff. What we say is that we take the Bible as plainly written. So even a parable has a plain meaning, even though it might have symbolic usages of language and stuff like that. Well, when it comes down to word usage in Hebrew, for example, you know, it's like I said before, it's not, oh, it can mean other things. Well, of course, most words can mean different things than, you know, whatever the main meaning of it is. But that's not an argument in itself. And so I've kind of, well, I mean, you do want to walk through these arguments with people, especially people who want to know the answers. But with most Christians now that have accepted this idea, I just say, okay, well, let's say you're right and the word day isn't day. That means there are millions of years. That means that those six time periods, that's where all the millions of years go. That means the rock layers were laid down during those millions of years. That means Jesus used death, suffering, pain, and disease to create and called it very good. Is that what you believe? Like, just let them run with the narrative. Yeah. Okay, maybe you're right. Go ahead. Maybe the day isn't a literal day. That means Jesus used cancer to create. You cool with that? Because that's what it comes down to. It's a matter of biblical authority. Is it man's word or God's word? But you see, this fellow's gone to university, I would estimate, and somewhere in his mind, it's just like, well, it doesn't all have to make sense. And it doesn't have, you know, and they don't even teach logic in school anymore. And no. I think they should be more in churches, to be honest. But here's where we are. You know,
well, they don't, it's critical thinking is not taught really in schools, and that's a problem. So, you know, when kids get older, they absorb what they're told in their class, and especially when they get to university. Oh my goodness. So I like what you said though. If you put science above scripture, then you're thinking, well, maybe we need to change the scripture. No, that is our final authority.
Yeah, and it's not science in the way people think of it. Right now, we're communicating through, you know, many means of scientific research that were repeatable, observable, they were testable, right? All that kind of stuff. When you're talking about what something happened in the past, that's a completely different type of science. That's historical science. It's like forensics. When you walk into a room and there's a dead body. No one observed it. You can't set up an experiment to repeat it over and over again. You've got to kind of guess at what happened. You can look at scientific facts, but facts get interpreted, right? So it's not the same type of science people have. Well, science has proven that water boils at 100 degrees Celsius at sea level. Yes, because you can set up an experiment and repeat it over and over again. Mm-hmm. You can't dig out bones out of the ground with little tags on the end of them saying, hi, I'm 65 million years old. That's an interpretation. I would interpret the fossil as saying, no, that got buried about 4,400 years ago in a big flood, just like it says here in Genesis. So, you know, we're not anti-science. We have PhD scientists in their ministry.
Right. And science just means knowledge. So I do want to just thank you. This is a great topic to dive into today because people need more information on this so we can know how to respond like we should. And I want to just send you again, friends, to YouTube, the Answers Canada page on YouTube. And then you can find Cal Smith on Harbingers Daily. And make sure you go to answersingenesis.ca as well as his Facebook page, Calvin Smith, AIG Canada. Brother, thanks for your time. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again soon, Lord willing.
Thank you.
Friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.